Hi, listening friend. Welcome to the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. It's August 30th, 2013, the last Friday of this month. In a couple of days, it's going to be September. Can you believe it, Jason? September, a couple days away on Sunday.
I'm going to celebrate it by going to an Illini game on Saturday.
Oh, hey, you did break down and actually bought your first ever Illini shirt. Three?
It was 3 for $20.
Oh, gee.
So I got one like one of the real men wear orange or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I wore that, and some guy thought it was a hunting shirt at first till he didn't know what the I meant.
Oh, gee.
He thought it was like, oh, that's hunter safety. I'm like, no.
Yeah. Well, I think on Monday, what is it that a man speaks like? 10,000 words a week or a day, and a woman maybe 20,000 or 40,000 or some. I think in the first couple minutes of the morning program on Monday, I shared my whole week's worth, and then on Wednesday, you and I got to highlight and share.
So that's why you're wearing the dress?
We no longer have a co-host. Your microphone's going down from now on, but I think I did my share of storytelling all week long. Thank you, God, for the ability to give him honor and praise for all the things that he's at work doing. You know, as you have said many times, he's at work all the time in every moment of every day doing miraculous things. And to him, it's not the miraculous, nor is it really for us. It's just God being God. But it's so nice. And I think he might even delight in it when we acknowledge him in the simple and the small and the large things. And I would hope today that you would have those glasses on where you would see him at work, you know, through nature, through a caring word. You know, I was starting to say it on Wednesday, but there are so many people that I just look up to, and they probably don't even know it, but it's just their characteristics. We talked about Skip Devil, Skip the Bear Chair, but there are so many people that just model Christ. Maybe it's through the way they pray. Maybe it's through their mannerisms. They're sweet to their kids, or they're loving, or just how they put others first, or the various ways we talked all about serving, or just how they're gifted, and they use those gifts for God's glory, not for personal gain or for accolades or for whatever reason. And they're deferring it, or they're giving God the credit. And I would hope today, as you go about seeing what God has in store for you, you'll give him the credit, you'll involve him in the activity, and you'll pray that the Holy Spirit will give those divine appointments so that you'll know that you're being used of God, because he wants to use you. And so I hope that you'll be empowered by his Spirit, and you'll be attentive to the means and ways and methods that he's going to use you this very day.
Yeah, definitely.
And he uses his word, especially the book of Acts, to launch us into a time of learning, doesn't he?
He sure does. And I think we're in chapter 2. I think we're still talking about Peter's great speech in Acts chapter 2. So get your Bible. If you're in the car, when you get done listening to the broadcast, you can maybe put in an audio Bible or something like that. But yeah, Acts chapter 2, Peter gets up, and remember, and this is a different Peter that we've seen. I mean, Peter was, you know, as many of us only remember, Peter, the denier of Christ. But for every time Peter denied Christ, Christ reinstated him at the end of the book of John by the Sea of Galilee. You know, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Then do this. And by the way, what a comforting thing, Peter, just like us. I mean, Jesus says, do you love me? Peter says, you know I love you. He says, do you love me? Lord, I love you. Do you love me? I do love you. Hey, then what about him? And Jesus says, it's not about him. You follow me. What a very human thing to say. Do you love me? Yes, I love you, Jesus. But Jesus, what about that guy over there? Jesus says, don't worry about him. What's that to you? You follow me. I mean, that one will preach for hours and hours and hours on end, but we don't need to talk about that. But that all leads into this moment here where Peter gets up and he stands up. He stands up. Remember that double entendre? He stands up and then he raises his voice. So Peter, he stands for something and he falls for nothing. This is a new and totally different Peter. And he begins and he says these powerful things. He says these unifying statements. He says, fellow Jews, he calls them brothers. He calls them men of Israel. He's drawing them in, and he's drawing them close, because I'm sorry, everybody has an opportunity to come near to Christ. There is no like you're in, you're out type of a thing. Jesus uses the word all a lot in the Bible, and then he talks about one anothering, that everybody has the opportunity. Come to me, all who are wearied and burdened. That's not some people, that's all people. And I know that there's some folks out there who go, yeah, but it's just the elect that just should come to Jesus. I'm sorry, I've studied the Bible back to front a lot of times. I can't find a number of how many are in the elect. So I'm going to side with Jesus when he says A-L-L, all. So these guys here, he says, men of Israel, brothers, fellow Jews. He unifies them and he draws them in, trying to share with them the gospel and God's love. But I want to share something that he does that I think that we often don't do when we do that. Because someone say, well, Peter, he's being awfully liberal here. No. Because he says down in verse 36, he says, therefore, all Israel, be assured of this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. He says, there's an uncomfortable truth at the center of this that we do have to talk about. You crucified Jesus. There is something that happened where you guys fell short on this deal. There's something that happened where you allowed yourselves to follow different things, where you allowed yourselves to be jaded or to be in the midst of a fog. You missed this, and we need to talk about this. Sometimes we get in a room where we want to spread love and joy and peace with people, and we forget to share the truth, too. Martin Luther has a great quote that we have on their refrigerator home that says, peace if possible, but truth at all costs. We need to make sure that we're declaring the truth, and he doesn't hold back on the truth here. He says to them, you crucified Jesus. You killed him. I think that while he was prepping them with the gospel, he hit them with that, and it was like a ball-peen hammer. It busted them open, and they go, we did. We did that, and the invitation is still extended to us. I mean, imagine if you're standing in this crowd. You've just heard that you crucified Jesus, and it says, listen to this, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. Because there was the realization, we did do that. And the invitation is still open to us. I mean, how mind-blowing is the grace of God that in the midst of our greatest failures, God doesn't stop offering us the invitation to come near.
Not only that, but the cost that God paid on our behalf, the extension of his love, sending his son, his beloved son, to go to the cross. I mean, that he's extending love, but that cost that he paid for each and every one of us.
We can't even begin to fathom that. I can't fathom that. I can't fathom what Jesus experienced on the cross. All I can do is be thankful for what he did, to be grateful for what he did. And by the way, you know what? If you begin there, if you're struggling, you're in a season where things are really tough, if you begin there, your life will radically change. If you begin with a deep sense of gratitude for what Christ has done for you, you will be in a different place. My marriage will be better when I thank Jesus for it. My life will be better when I thank Jesus for it. My kids will be better when I thank Jesus for them. When I show this deep sense of gratitude. But Peter here, he says, you crucified him, and it cuts these people to the heart. And right there, they're cut to the heart. And what does he do? The invitation that I talked about. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. Now, listen to me again. Those of you out there are going, yeah, but it's just the elect, just a few people. Only certain people get in. A lot of people, they don't get to get in. That's just the way it works. No way. First of all, he talks about brothers and sisters in the all. And then he says this, every one of you. Not some of you. Every one of you. The invitation goes out to every single one of you now. What are you going to do? That's the decision part of it. Are you going to accept Jesus or are you going to deny Jesus? And he says, in the name of Jesus, for the forgiveness of your sins, and listen to me right now. If you're driving along, if you're sitting in your house, if you happened upon this space and you don't know why, I'm going to tell you right now why. Because every one of you is you. The person who's listening right now, you're the you that Peter's talking about. The you that eternally stretches across over time. And you, radio listener right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit as you accept Jesus into your life as your Savior. Don't hold off. Don't wait till tomorrow or next year. If you don't know who Jesus is, repent of your sins. Turn from the direction you have been going. Don't wait to get cleaned up to find Jesus. Let Jesus clean you up.
Now, Jason, I'm thinking there's somebody that's saying, but Jason, you don't know the sin that's in my life. You don't know the poor choices I've made. I've been deliberately antagonistic against God. I intentionally chose some things that I knew would break his heart. Am I too far away from his grace and his mercy? Am I just going to receive his judgment because I deserve it? I realize I deserve it. So how can you say I can go to God right now?
That's a great question. You know what? Peter was asked that same question here, I think. the text doesn't capture it, but I think he was asked that question because then what does he say? This promise is for you and your children and for all those who are far off, for all those whom the Lord will call. You know what? You might think that you're too far away. You might think that there's a wall between you, a chasm of bad things you've done that separate you from Jesus. But let me tell you what. Jesus here says that there are those who are far off. And those people who are far off have the same gift of grace that the person who is standing near has too. There is nobody who is perfect. There is nobody who is not messed up and messy. There is nobody who is not in some way, shape, or form gone off the path. Look, at that's what the cross is all about. The cross is all about Christ coming and cleaning us. You know, people who tell me, well, when I get myself together, I'm going to get to church. And I go, you know what? Church is about helping you get back together. That's Jesus. That's what Jesus does. Jesus gets you back together. If you're worrying about getting yourself back together to get to church, let me tell you what, you're never going to get to church because you'll never get yourself back together. It's Jesus who gets you back together. So don't hold off. Don't wait. Don't think sometime tomorrow or sometime next year or sometime whenever I can reconcile all the things that I've done in my life, because you never will be able to apart from Jesus. It's only through Jesus that you receive forgiveness from all those things in the past, forgiveness from Him, and then forgiveness for yourself. Forgiveness where you allow yourself to be released from the things that have happened in your past. You're not who you used to be. You're who you are today in Christ Jesus.
Talk also about how God will come into your life and bring about that healing and that hope and that eternal joy that you can have no matter what you've suffered through, no matter how much you've botched up, what He will do with the new life that's surrendered to Him.
That's such a great question, except for the problem is that I can't qualify that because God does so much, and the Bible says He does infinitely more than I can know and imagine. And in everybody's life, it's different things. You know what? But I'll tell you what, when He comes into your life, the things you used to love, you don't love anymore. When He comes into your life, the things you worship, you don't worship anymore. When He comes into your life and you begin to focus on Him, things have an altogether different quality. You know, when I came to know who Jesus was, I learned how I could truly love my wife because the author and perfecter of love was teaching me what love looked like. When I need to forgive somebody, I don't go to me. You know why? Because on my own, I don't forgive people. I go to the person who forgave us all and who continues to forgive us all. When I need to exercise grace, I go to Him because we're not very graceful creatures. And I'm a man, so I don't dance well. We're not graceful. And mercy? Some of us have gifts of mercy, but it's only because Jesus has given us those gifts. And so it's Jesus who makes all those things possible. And I can't qualify the change that Jesus is going to make in your life, but I'm going to tell you this. It's going to be a change. And life might get a little more difficult. You know why? Because you've been living in a place where you've been appeasing the enemy. You've been living in a place where the enemy's been just saying, oh, I got him, no big deal. And when you come to know Jesus, you enter into a battle because there is an enemy who knows the glory that you have in your life. He knows that you will bring great glory to God through your gifts and your beauty and the way that God created you and put you together. He fears that. He fears that. The Bible is full of people who the enemy comes against because he fears what they're going to do. This moment when Peter stands up here, I got to think the enemy was like, oh no. I mean, I thought I had him. He denied Christ three times. No way. Because powered by the Holy Spirit, powered by Jesus, Peter stands up and he doesn't take no for an answer. He delivers the gospel because he knows that these people desperately need it. You desperately need it. We desperately need Jesus. If you don't believe it, turn on the news. If you don't believe it, pick up a newspaper. If you don't believe it, go to the magazine rack. This world is in shambles and we are a world that has moved away from Jesus. And we need to reclaim His grace. What if our neighborhoods and our towns became gospel communities where Jesus was fueling the fire, where we're making grace-filled decisions? It would be a different place. And the possibilities are limitless and endless. And that's why in this chapter here, God ends it the way He does. It says, with many other words, He warned them. Listen to them. He warned them and He pleaded with them. He warned them. He told them, look it. This is what's coming. But then He pleaded with them because He knew their lives mattered. Your life matters. And He said, save yourself from this corrupt generation. Man, that'll preach across time. And it says, those who accepted the message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the number that day. I mean, can you imagine that day in the church? The day in the church when you as a pastor do an altar call and 3,000 people come to faith? The day when you as a person sitting in your church watch 3,000 people bum rush the stage to get in the water to be baptized? Just imagine how many towels and bathrobes and things it takes to make that happen. I mean, here people were just jumping in the water. They were just, they had to get baptized. They had to get near Jesus. They heard the message, and it was undeniable, undeniable to them. And you know what? This would not have been possible if Jesus didn't enter into the life of Peter, if he didn't radically change the life of Peter, and if he didn't call Peter to more. Look at, there is, I believe with my whole heart, each one of you listening right now, there's a glory to your life that you don't even understand, that you don't even know. On your own, in your own currency, your own economy, you're selling yourself way too short. Way too short. Look, it says Jesus can dream infinitely more than we can know and imagine. I shared that earlier. And that's true. Jesus sees more in us, sees more in me than I can even think about, even know, even imagine. I never would have thought that I would have three beautiful kids and another crazy one who kicks like Jackie Chan coming along the way, and a beautiful wife. And I never would have thought we would live in a place and minister at a church. I mean, these things were never on my own. I don't know what I thought I was going to do. But I never would have been able to think this. I mean, sometimes I just sit on the couch and I see my kids like crazy running around. And I think like, I am so blessed. Like, I am beyond blessed. I can't even imagine why I deserve this. And yet I've been given it. You know, it's like you, on Christmas morning, you open up the perfect present, the thing you've always dreamed of having. And you don't understand why you got it. You know, that's what it's like. That's what the life that Jesus gives you is like. You suddenly are unwrapped it. Actually, he unwraps you, and he unravels you. And you realize, oh my gosh, why have I been given this gift? And sometimes I don't know the answer to that question, because the Bible says crazy things like, while we were still sinners, God sent his son. You know, God sent his son with the express mission to go to the cross, to shed his blood, to die for the forgiveness of our sins. That was the mission of Jesus on the earth, and along the way to touch us and to change us, to teach us and mold us, to give us this message that we could carry called the gospel. That's a gift that I don't even understand. I mean, God gave it in such a sacrificial fashion. He gave it in such a way that he knew what the end was going to be like. And Jesus did too. He's in the garden and he goes, Father, he goes, will you take this from me? But if not, your will be done. And Jesus knew it was in that cup. You know what was in the cup? The wrath of God, the thing that each one of us deserves, the thing that should be poured out into each one of our lives. You know, I run into people all the time who say to me, they go, you don't understand, my life is horrible. If it wasn't for Jesus, your life would be a whole lot worse. I can't imagine the wrath of God in its fullest and deepest and widest extent being poured out onto us. Jesus took that thing upon himself and took it to the cross, and in that moment freed us from that. I can't even imagine that. And you know what? I think that sometimes when I run into people, and maybe it's you, maybe when you listen right now, maybe it's you, who are spending way too much time trying to define that instead of just accepting it. Way too much time trying to figure out what happened at the cross instead of just expressing the gratitude for what Jesus did at the cross. That's all that Jesus asks. He doesn't ask you to theologically figure it out. He doesn't ask you to map it out. He doesn't ask you to work it out. He asks you to give it up. Give up that. Give up all the things you're holding on to. Meet him at the cross. Hand it to him. And it says that he'll take it all upon himself. Come to me, all who are wearied and burdened. Not some. All who are wearied and burdened. And he says, I'll carry it for you. And that's what Jesus does. And so maybe today is that day. Maybe today is the day where you say, I'm wearied. I'm carrying this stuff and I don't know how I'm going to get to the next mile with all this junk on my back. You're carrying your family members, your problems, maybe it's stuff with your health. I don't know what it is, but you're carrying all this stuff and you have a Savior standing next to you who says, I'll carry that for you if you'll give it to me. And some of us are so wrapped up in our brokenness where that we're happily, sorrowfully suffering as we carry this. And we want to play the part of the martyr instead of understanding that Jesus, our Messiah and our Savior, standing right next to us saying, I'll carry that. I'll get it all. I'll take care of it. I know you're messy. I know you're messed up. I know it's hard. I know you don't know what to do. I know you don't know where to go. I know. I know. Come to me.
I think of those words, cast your cares on him because he cares for you. Because God cares for you, dear listener. If your heart is stirred today, maybe you don't know that God loves you and has a plan and purpose for your life. We would love to talk with you. Pastor Jason would love to sit down with you, or you could even call this special number. There are trained counselors that would love to initiate and talk with you about having a relationship, a personal relationship with God, who not only loves you, he created you with plans and purposes. He delighted in you. You exist because of his divine providence. You didn't just happen. You didn't just come about because of primordial slime in the evolutionary process. You are here for a reason, and that reason is to know God and love God because he loves you. And you can call 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. Trained counselors would be happy to talk you through how to have a relationship with God. And certainly Jason and I would love to sit down or talk with you or just maybe speak to you over the phone. And it can even be anonymously. Maybe you're just a seeker that this is new truth that you've never heard before. Maybe you just happen to be scanning the dial and you're like, I've just never thought about there being a personal God that I can know. Well, he's revealed through the scripture, and there's power in that name of Jesus. Jason, just in our closing minute, how about praying for those people? Praying for all of us, those that are listening, those that don't know God, and those that love God and are excited to walk with him today.
Yeah, I think of Galatians chapter 4 and verse 9, which says, but now that you know God, or rather, you are known by God. And God, we thank you that you know us. You know every hair on our head. You know our names. Lord, even if we don't know you, we don't claim and exclaim and proclaim your name. You know us. Even when we're lost and messy and messed up, you know us. Even when we're off the rails, off the track, off the path, you know us. No matter where we are, you never forget who we are. And so right now, Lord, I just pray that you would grab a hold of the hearts of the people who are listening. Those who are far from you and don't know you. Those who are close but have forgotten. Those who are close and just need a reminder. Lord, I pray that you would grip them and grab a hold of their hearts. That you would call forth deep inside of them the name of Jesus. The name above all names. The name that saves. And I pray today that those who are messy, messed up, and far away would be cleansed, cleaned, and sent back out to proclaim the gospel. And we thank you in Jesus' name, Jesus' mighty name, and all God's people wherever they are right now. Give the Lord a shout. Amen.
You can call 1-888-NEED-HIM. 1-888-NEED-HIM. Trained counselors would love to talk with you about having a relationship with Father God and praying with you. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day, night, and weekend.